Yeah. there's the other student. Okay. The reason I'm doing this is because there's so much confusion, it seems like, at times in the church on spiritual gifts. And so I'm hoping that, you'll hear a fair amount this morning, and I know how that goes. You can retain just so much, right? And so what I want to do is give you these notes so that it's something that you can hold on to if you have questions or need help with those areas of gifts, okay? So, okay, am I on? So what I'm going to do this morning now is, as you know, Pastor Joe Warner was here last weekend and taught on the area of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, and I've also, prior to his coming, have begun a series in the book of Ephesians, but I stated the week before he came that we were going to circle the wagons for a while, and we're going to hone in on this whole area of physical healing. The Lord has really stirred me up, been teaching me a ton about this, and it's been challenging me, and I'll tell you, it's broadened my whole, it's amazing how it's actually given a whole worldview, I guess you might say, or whole context for Scripture. Not that it's the all in all, but sometimes when you see something in Scripture, it gives you a new understanding of what how God works, if you will. And so what I'm going to share this morning, I'm actually going to take a step back from that to bring some clarity to some of the things that we heard last weekend. Over this past week, I've had some different folks that have come to me. They've been asking me questions about things that they heard, some things that seem different from maybe things they'd heard before or things that they understand. And so as a result of that, I realized that I need to bring clarity to some things that apparently weren't clear. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And then what we'll do is it's going to be quite exciting, I think, because we're going to actually take what we look at as far as the gifts and see how that actually ties into the whole area of physical healing as we head into next week and the weeks ahead. So I'm gonna connect those dots, but for right now, we're gonna continue focusing on the whole area of spiritual gifts. Okay? And so last week, Pastor Joe shared with us the reality that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. How many know that? Different kinds of spiritual gifts, all right? But what I want to do is I want to give you the biblical understanding of what they are, how they're different, and because they're different, how they function in the body of Christ, how they're meant to function, okay? Now, Pastor Joe, he was here for a seminar, but how many know there was no way he could have exhausted everything that there is to teach about spiritual gifts, amen? And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to do that today either. There's no way. That's something that I think we may head into in the future, but knowing where the Lord has us right now, the reason I want us to get understanding out of last weekend is because of there's a differentiation that I'm going to show between functioning in spiritual gifts and functioning in our faith and authority that we've been given as a born-again follower of Christ. And so I'm going to teach what those differentials are in the weeks ahead. And so I want us to understand what we need to learn today about spiritual gifts so that it can help you understand what those differences are, if that makes sense. It may not make full sense after we get done today, but I think in the weeks ahead, if you keep hanging in there, it will, okay? So what we're going to begin is we're going to look to start out looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, actually 1 through 6. And I think I had the wrong, so it's 1 through 6, okay? The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a church that he said in the early chapter of 1 Corinthians that they had all the spiritual gifts. The problem is, although they had all the spiritual gifts, it became like a free-for-all. at times in how they functioned in those gifts in the Corinthian church. It was actually out of order in how they were functioning. And so Paul's trying to bring back some definition to the gifts and how they function within the body of Christ so that they will actually benefit. How many know if there's order to the way the gifts function, it's going to benefit the body of Christ? But if there's disorder to how the gifts function, then it's going to harm the body of Christ. It's going to bring confusion. It's going to bring contempt. How many know that there's contempt out there towards spiritual gifts today because people have seen something that's gone radical in the church, and as a result of it, they think it's just foolish, so they're contemptuous about the gifts of the Spirit. And the sad thing is because of it and because it's done that way in the church, people have actually cut themselves off from the very power, revelation, and unction of God that is needed today desperately in the body of Christ. So let's look at this passage, the first six verses, and see what Paul says about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters," and I'm reading out of the NIV again. That's the 84 edition. I can't get that on computer very easily, so I'm got the new edition, the 2011, I think it is. So some of the wording may be a little differently. "But about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Now, how many know anybody can repeat those words? But no one from the heart can say, "Jesus is Lord." Because if you say Jesus is Lord from the heart, that means He's Lord of your life. He's supreme in authority. You've given Him rulership, okay? So he says, there, verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts." Now hear the word gifts. Now this is where you can start looking on your sheet too, okay? Because I put some things in there that aren't going to be up on the screen, okay? "There are different types of gifts." That word in the original language is the word charisma, okay? Now, the way that that's used often in our culture today is a person with great personality, okay? Great, you know, they just, man, they can awe a crowd. They, you know, that's the way we tend to use the word today. But in the terms of charisma here, it's a gift of grace, okay? It's actually, all the gifts are a gift of grace. But this is imparted within us as a gift of grace. And so a charisma, the word charisma, if you look there on your sheet, it says the definition of this word in the Greek, which is, that's the Greek word, which is gift, a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own, the gift of divine grace, okay? It says there are different kinds of gifts, charisma, but the same Spirit distributes them all. Now I'm going to explain the difference between that and what Paul talks about next. Okay, verse 5, he says, "There are different kinds of service." The New American Standard renders that word ministries. Okay, the Greek word is the word diakonia, okay, which is the word that we get deacon from. Okay, now how many know that those who serve in the role of deacon, that's what they do? They serve the body of Christ. You understand? So that's where that word service or ministries comes from. It's the way that a person serves the body of Christ. He says, but the same Lord is Lord over those different kinds of service. Then there are different kinds of working. The New American Standard renders that word effects. The Greek word there is the word, let me pronounce it right, energema. And so what this is it's an effect. And if you look at that word, can you see how we could get the word energy from that word? Okay? And that's talking about the power of God, okay? Different kinds of workings. The effect that comes, that results from the power of God. All right? So there's differences. How many knew those differences in that passage? Okay, good. Well, that's good. You're learning something. All right? So there's differences there. And what I'm going to show now is how those differences exist within the gifts of the Spirit. There's actually three significant major gift lists within the Bible. Okay? There's what's called ministry gifts to start with. You can see it there. These are what we often think of as the fivefold gifts. Okay? I'm gonna basically summarize these, and then we're gonna come back through all three kinds. There's also in Romans chapter 12, it doesn't use this word, but I haven't coined the phrase, it's actually been around for a while, but we're gonna call it the motivational gifts of the Spirit. Okay? That would relate to the charisma that we looked at in the first passage. The ministry gifts would relate to the diaconia, the service ministries. And then there's a third type of gifts that are called the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And you can find those in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And those relate to the word energema. Okay? The energy, the effects, the workings of God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go back now through each of those spiritual kinds of spiritual gifts, and I want to explain to you how they function in the body of Christ and what their differences are. And we're going to begin with the ministry gifts, the fivefold gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. So let's look at those verses, 11 through 13, excuse me. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay? So here it's evident that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are the gifts that we're talking about. And these particular gifts are governmental in nature, okay? They're the gifts to the church that bring order to the church. They're to bring government, in all honesty, in various areas of the church, but one of the ways that they govern is also in to bring order into how the rest of the gifts function within the body of Christ. How many know if you work somewhere and there isn't somebody that's in supervision, the old saying is, when the cat's away, the mice play, right? And we, as sinful creatures that we can be, in our choices, tend to like to do what we want to do, even if it's not along the lines of someone who's in authority, right? And so, how many know all of us need to have authority? How many know all of us have the potential to move in the direction of the flesh and not the Spirit, right? So we need authority, and that's no different in the body of Christ. And so God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to bring government to the body of Christ. As you see there in that passage also, they're also given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now Ephesians 2:10 says that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay? And so we are called, all of us, God has given us all work to do. But the fivefold ministry gifts are given to the church to govern and to equip the saints and help them fulfill the work of ministry that God has given to them as well. Okay? And so what we need to understand about the ministry gifts, however, is there are three distinguishable characteristics that exist with the ministry gifts different from the other gifts. All right? And they're there. You can read them with me. The people who God calls to the offices of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are the gifts to the church. So the person themselves is the gift to the church, okay? It's not, I mean, they definitely have to have spiritual gifts as well, but being that they are put in a place of government and equipping, they actually, the person themselves, is called by God to bring government to the church, and so that the church can have order, they actually become the gift themselves. It's the people themselves that God has given to the church. Does that make sense? All right. So they don't possess the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are the gift. Okay. Therefore, the ministry gifts is a person. Okay. That's one distinction. The second distinction is the work done through a ministry gift is a life calling. It's not just a gift that I have, it's a gift that I am. Therefore, if I'm in a fivefold ministry gift, I have a lifelong calling in that role. Okay? And in contrast to the work done through the motivational gifts, and we're going to explain these differences in a minute, and the manifestation gifts, which are like tools, okay? Those are gifts that are like tools that you use. Okay? Where the person themselves is the one that is governing and serving the body of Christ in a fivefold ministry gift. So it's a lifelong calling. And then third, with the ministry gifts, upright character is a prerequisite to holding an office in the body of Christ. You can see those requirements in 1 Timothy and Titus. Those scriptures are listed there. However, with the gifts, the other gifts, although character is important when exercising these gifts so that the gospel is not discredited, how many know the gospel can get discredited if our character doesn't match up to our function? Okay? And even though that's important, though, people can still function in the motivational gifts and the manifestation gifts even if their character is lacking. Now, this is a misunderstanding with a lot of people because they think, well, you know, if I'm in sin, then there's no way that, you know, the gifts could work through me. That's not true, okay? That's not true. The problem is the people that do flow in the gifts and their character isn't in order, and it brings confusion to the body. I know this because I have a friend that when she was in school, in college, she knew some friends that would emphasize the importance of needing to be able to speak in tongues. Okay? Now, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, right? So I'm not diminishing that. But it was an offense to her because she was a Christian too, but she was trying to live a godly life. However, her life was significantly more in order in that area than her friends who were going out and partying and doing other things, we'll just leave it at that, that were telling her how much she was missing because she needed to speak in tongues. Now, can you see how that brought confusion to her? And therefore, she had a contempt towards the gift of tongues because of somebody else's lifestyle, and she didn't understand this principle that they could actually do that but still not have a upstanding, upright life. Okay? So we have to understand that, that gifts can function that way. But when it comes to the office of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, if they're not, because they are the gift, if that gift is living in a life that does not exemplify the character of Jesus Christ, then they are disqualified to be in that role. Does that make sense? So those are the distinctions that exist with the ministry gifts from the other spiritual gifts. All right. Now I want to go to the motivational gifts. We find this list in Romans 12, 3 through 8. So let's look at that passage. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now there's a reason for this. Okay? But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in according with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. How many know that there are people that are very talented in various areas of life? And they know it. And they show it. And they want you to know that they're talented. You catching my drift? Some of those people we can call very charismatic individuals, can we not? Okay? Well, this kind of relates to this function of the motivational gifts. Okay? And so based upon these gifts that we're going to look at here, this is the gift of charisma. It's the grace gift. Okay? And it is actually a part of who we are, that the way God's hardwired us. Okay? We're going to see that in a minute. And so because of it, people can begin to think, hey, I'm a somebody, I'm a teacher. I'm a prophecy person. And I can exuberate. And because this gift just is so natural to me, I think that's why Jesus probably taught that, you know, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give, don't do it as a way of, you know, drawing attention to yourself, because guess what? That's all the reward you get if you do that. But if you do it unto the Lord, that's how you gain an eternal inheritance. And so what Paul's trying to emphasize here is, listen, don't think in these gifts, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to you. Okay? And so he goes on, for just as each of you has one body with many members, so you're just not an island unto yourself, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So guess what? Any gift that God graces us with is not so that we can look like somebody. The reason he gives you the gift is so that you can be a part of everybody and serve the body for the purpose of building it up so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. Okay? And so, he says, verse 6, we have different gifts, charisma. Okay? Now listen to this. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, now notice we heard the word prophet in the first list. I just want you to keep that tucked away. Now he says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, or the New American Standard says exhort, or exhortation, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So the gifts that we see listed in this passage are prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, or exhortation. And I'm going to explain what exhortation is in a minute, because that's not a common word that we use. At least it's not one I used for a long time. Giving, leadership, and mercy. All right? And as you see there, exhortation simply means to urge, to advise, and or to warn so that a person is helped. It often has a step of action connected to it. Okay? Now I will tell you that those that have this spiritual gift can either err or be perceived that they err in their exercise of it. Let me tell you how. Because listen to what it says. Advise, urge, or warn. Okay? Now, a person that has this gift, if they aren't careful, if they see somebody else in the body of Christ, the Lord will give them revelation to sometimes see something that's out of order in their life. Okay? And If they're not careful, if they aren't exercising this gift, because all the gifts have to be functioning in love, if they're not exercising it in love, then they can get perturbed at those people who aren't living the way they're supposed to be living. And their advisement, urgency, and warning can become very condemning. Okay? Now, so they have to be careful of that. However, guess what? How many of you just love it when somebody who, I don't care how loving they are, come to you and want to share something with you that seems urgent or gives advisement or is a warning? Anybody appreciate that? Not usually. You know, I know it's hard to receive a word like that, right? But I know there's times in my life where I need to. I know we all have blind spots in our life? Are we all above ever needing someone to come and try to help us in an area of our life? Okay? I've had it on various occasions, and thank God the person that come to me had the courage to do it. Because I know I'm a strong-willed kind of feller, and people come to me typically in fear and trepidation. You understand what I'm saying? And I tell them, okay, just give me the word and give me some time to go process it, okay? Because it's not always easy to hear that. Now I believe that the reason this word is also translated at times encouragement, because everything doesn't always have to be, I need to tell this to you in love. Right? Sometimes it can be a word of, you know, the Lord really, I just sense that he has something in mind that is great for your life. I want to encourage you in that. The Lord loves you. You know, something like that. Now, you're going to see how this can tie into prophecy here in a minute. But that's the word of exhortation. And then the other ones, I think, are pretty much understandable, other than prophecy, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But here's what I want to share as far as the distinctions of the motivational gifts, okay? The motivational gifts are hardwired into our makeup as a person, all right? Now, what that means is they seemingly come natural to us, but not necessarily for others. Our motivational gift will be what stirs up passion inside of us and how we most desire to serve others, okay? I mean, we get fired up. So if you've got the gift of service, man, you just love doing the little things behind the scenes. You don't really want to be one of those people that are out in front. You just love, hey, Lord, this is unto you. And you just love it. Now, there's other people that they don't have that gift and they think, thank God you got that gift. Right? Okay. Or the gift of teaching. Now, that would be my personal motivational gift. Pastor Joe talked about that last week. That's what I get fired up about. I spent a fair amount of time studying out these Greek words and all these, you know, putting these notes together. Because I am not satisfied to just know something. I want not only to know it, I want to make sure you know it. And if you don't know it, then I'm frustrated. You see what I'm saying? So I want to help you know it. And so that's what gets me motivated, okay? But I also believe that that's the most effective way that I can motivate you as a church. If I tried to come up here and serve, I hate to admit it, but you would not be very motivated by me, okay? Now, we're all called to serve. We all have a responsibility to serve, so that's not what I'm saying. But if my gift depended on motivating you based on my service, and I'm always thinking of how can I help that person and do that little thing, and you know who's got that gift in our family? She does that, and I'll tell you what, the little things that she does to bless people, and she kind of, and I think the Lord's blessed her, it's almost unfair, you know. We think a service gift, well, that's just a little behind the scenes, that means nothing, but she kind of gets it combined with the giving gift too. And Dawn just loves to give, loves to see somebody blessed, you know. And so, as you can see, it motivates you, it stirs you up, you know, and it stirs the people up that you bless. So those are the motivational gifts. It's inherent within us, okay? And motivational gifts, however, function at different levels, as we read in this passage, according to the grace given us, okay? So some people's motivational gift may be very effective with one-on-one things, but don't stick them in front of a crowd. Or do service in the sense of, you know, organizing a conference. That would overwhelm them. But you do have people that their service gift, I mean, they just, man, the big thing, that just, you know, let's get this together. Let's pull these things together. Let's get all the details worked out, man. This little flower item, that's going to bless somebody, you know, and they just get all pumped up because of those little details that's going to bless somebody. See what I'm saying? So they're on different levels. Some people, it's just small groups. A small group of people, you know, they host a party at their house. They just love to, you know, to serve those people or what have you. You know, just various ways and levels that these motivational gifts reach people. So those are the distinctions between the motivational gifts, all right? And now the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. This is the that word. As you can tell, I don't speak Greek very often, so. Okay. Now to each one, listen to this. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message, or I personally like better, this is the NIV's translation, but the NASB says a word of wisdom. Okay? To another a message, NASB, a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing or healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Effecting of miracles is how the NASB says that. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits or discerning of spirits, according to the New King James. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Or, as the NASB says, just as he wills. All right? Now, that word work, energeo, it means to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. So how many know if you're putting forth power, there's got to be power to put forth? Okay? And these are, as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit, these gifts affect or they do something. They're a work. Okay? And so, when you break down those 9 spiritual gifts, I find that almost ironic because there's 9 manifestation gifts of the Spirit, and there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Just a little order thought, right? Okay? And you can break up the gifts of the Spirit in 3 different categories. The way I have it broken up here is the revelation gifts. That would be a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And there's the power gifts, faith, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles. And then the vocal or unction, you understand unction is vocal. There's kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. All right. Now here's the distinguishing characteristics of the manifestation gifts. The manifestation gifts are the result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right. Through being filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive the power to build up the body of Christ and be a bold witness for Christ. And secondly, God distributes these gifts as he wills. But we are also instructed to desire these gifts for ministering to others. Okay? And so, We see that shown in Scripture. I'm not going to take time, but if you want to look at those two scriptures, we see the fact that the manifestation gifts come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20 talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Rivers of living water, Jesus said, will burst forth out of you. Okay? So in order to flow in those gifts, it's important that we stay filled up. Okay? Because the way the gifts function is that as you serve and you pour out through the manifestation gifts, you're basically like a battery. Okay? You lose your charge as you serve unless you keep charged up. Okay? And so that's why Paul, if you look in that passage there in Ephesians 5 where it says, do not be drunk with wine, verse 18, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. Well, how many know people don't just take one big guzzle of wine and they're drunk? Right? Some it doesn't take long, unfortunately, but okay. Well, the same thing is with the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he says, sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How many know when you sing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're setting your mind, you're setting your focus on Christ, and you go to the well of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to drink, and you begin to set your eyes on Him, and you begin to declare who He is. That's why we do praise and worship here on Sunday morning. It's not so we just come in and sing some beautiful songs and get all emotional, and oh, isn't that a beautiful service, Pastor? That's not why we do that. It's so that we get our eyes fixed on the Lord, that we get our minds filled, that we get so consumed with the Holy Spirit that we get filled. And just like wine, you get enough wine, it starts controlling your thinking. It starts controlling your actions. You lose control, it gets control. Well, I'll tell you what, you start getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you get your focus on God, you start lifting Him up, you start giving Him the place He's due in your life. You know what? It's going to start controlling your life. You're going to give over to it. He's going to start controlling your thinking. He's gonna work through you. Come on. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And when we do, guess what? You're going to start getting some form, as the Lord wills, of revelation. You're going to start getting words of knowledge and wisdom and discernings of spirits. You're going to start getting tongues and interpretation and prophecy. We ain't going to come in here every week and we just sit here and it chirp, 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 and hear the crickets. You hear me? We're going to get healings and miracles. Come on. And faith that produces those things. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So that's why we got to come into worship and not just sing songs. Not just stand there like some dead old piece of wood. Right? You know? And again, we're not talking about emotionalism. We're not talking about, oh, I got to psych myself up. I got to make myself positive. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to get your eyes on Jesus. You got to express from your heart the love that you have for Him. You got to make a declaration of, you are great. You are awesome, God. There is no one that compares with you. And that's not just saying cliches, folks. You get your heart filled. Your spirit fills.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have to keep moving.
And so the manifestation gifts flow that way. But God distributes them as he wills, but He tells us to desire Him. Let's look real quick. Look at that 1 Corinthians passage where He says, follow the way of love, which is just off the heels of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, right? He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, right? Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their listening to this, strengthening or edification, encouraging or exhortation, and comfort or consolation. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So you understand that, right? Pray in the Spirit, build yourself up. Prophesy, builds the church up. Okay? I would like that every one of you speak in tongues, but I would rather you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless, everyone say unless, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Okay? All right, now, this is important because this is where confusion runs rampant in the church. And it's over this issue of the gift of prophecy. Now, by the way, just to back up, did you notice that the gift of prophecy was also, again, in the manifestation gift list? So in the ministry gifts, we have the prophet. In the motivational gifts, we have prophecy. And in the manifestation gifts, we have prophecy. But we understand that there's distinctions in how each works, right? We need to take a moment to understand those differences, all right? So here's the clarification. Pray for me. I'm going to try to get through this. For some form of prophecy, yeah, we already described this. They're in all the passages. Prophecy is vocal, okay? Now this is what you need to understand. Prophecy is a vocal gift. It is not a revelation gift. Most people don't understand that. Prophecy is not gaining revelation into the future. When it comes to the gift of prophecy or the motivational or the manifestation gift of prophecy, okay? Actually, even with a prophet, because he's functioning. He's in the role of a prophet, but he's functioning out of the motivational gift of prophecy. So it is an unction gift. It is not a revelation gift. That's why tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. Okay? Now this is where people get really confused because they think that prophecy is foretelling the future. But prophecy, biblically in the New Testament, is not about foretelling the future. It's about forthtelling what God wants someone or a body to know from His heart that doesn't relate to the future. Okay, I can see. I'm seeing grimaces, man. You people are thinking. That's what I want. Because I want you to understand this. All right? The gift of prophecy does not have revelation connected to it. All right? The purpose of the gift of prophecy is to edify, build up, and comfort. Okay? Edify or exhort and comfort. Okay? So it is to exhort and encourage someone. That's it. It's not there to tell them about their future. Now you're going to see in a minute how when you combine something with prophecy, that may happen. But it's not prophecy that's giving the future unction. Now you've combined it with another gift in order to get that kind of unction with prophecy. So do you understand that? Does that make sense? I want to make sure we understand that before I move on. All right. So here's what prophecy can function both personally and corporately. Okay? So some of you were seeing Pastor Joe bring people up here and he would begin to prophesy. Now what became confusing, and I'm going to share this in a moment, is typically when he was ministering, he wasn't just operating in the gift of prophecy alone. He was typically operating in another manifestation gift along with that gift. And so he was giving future direction. And that's why today I need to bring clarification, because I know some of you thought that that whole thing was just prophecy and you would have misunderstood it. That's why this is important today, okay? And so prophecy again is can happen for both individuals and people. So personal prophecy is a word in season that the Holy Spirit gives to a person through another person. The word may seem like it could apply to anyone. I want you to hear this. It could seem so general that it could apply to anybody. But here's what will happen. It will minister to a specific need within the person receiving the word at a particular moment in time. Okay? So like I've got there, someone could come up to someone and just generally I could teach. I did this morning. I said, God loves us. Nothing can separate us from His love in all creation, okay? And that would be, you know, that would just be a word from the Word, okay? But there can be another situation where a person is going through something in life that they've had a difficult time and they're really questioning, am I worthy of God's love? Do I deserve it? Right? And a person can get a word of prophecy for them as simple as, God wants you to know how much He loves you. I'm telling you what, that'll melt some people's hearts in the right moment, in the right situation. You see what I'm saying? So don't mistake a general word for not being a prophetic word because you don't know what's going on in that person's life who needs that word in that moment. So it becomes encouragement, comfort, and edifies. It strengthens. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's prophecy, and the same thing. Basically, a corporate word is a prophecy for a body of believers. Where God just wants, let's say God, you know, maybe there's some Sunday, something's happened. Maybe, can you imagine a church down south that was annihilated by a hurricane? And somebody stands up and says, thus, you know, not thus saith the Lord, but I believe in my heart the Lord is just saying to us, and it's not just a general, let's pump ourselves up, but it's, I will never leave you or forsake you. See what I'm saying? Because everybody's going, why could God let this happen? If God loves us so much, how could He do this? And that church would need to know that, listen, I didn't leave you or forsake you. There are things and elements that go on in this world because it's a fallen world that try to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm just telling you right now, I didn't leave you and I didn't forsake you. I'm still here and I still care about what you're going through. See, that's a word of prophecy, folks, because they would need that, right? Are you getting it? All right, now, so the function of the gift of prophecy is to foretell, not foretell. Right? Prophecy means to flow forth. The Greek word for prophecy means to speak for another. Therefore, the gift of prophecy means to speak for God or be His spokesperson. How many know He gives unction gifts that to you to speak to someone else because He wants them to hear through an audible voice what His heart is for them? Okay? And the role of prophecy in the Old Testament through the prophets was foretelling. Okay? But the gift of prophecy in the New Testament is for the purpose of forthtelling so that people are built up. All right? Now, a person who functions in the manifestation gift of prophecy will do so occasionally as the Lord wills, okay? That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 12 passage, the manifestations, he said it's distributed as the Lord wills, and that's also why in 1 Corinthians 14, now he's saying desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, because it is a gift that will build up the body of Christ. So they will operate. Any one of us can operate in the gift of prophecy. Did you know that? God, the Spirit of God, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in a given moment, can manifest and speak a word of encouragement and build somebody else up. Okay? Now, The motivational gift of prophecy is one that, just like I have a teaching gift, Pastor Joe shared that. He says, Pastor Scott, you can give him a passage of Scripture, give him 5 minutes, and you know, turn him on and crank him out, and he'll teach it. And I've done that a few times here. We've had where the service went and had 15 minutes left, and when the kids were come back from a choir, the fire, there was just something was going on by the Spirit about love, and so I just opened up to Romans 8, and I just began to teach that passage on love. And it's just a natural part. Well, that's why Pastor Joe. Now listen, I couldn't do that. I couldn't call people up here and say, you know, I'm going to function in a word. Okay? But Pastor Joe has the motivational gift. It resides there. You see what I'm saying? Just like I have a teaching gift, it resides there. It's how God's hardwired a person. So he could get up and just bam, bam, bam. Now the thing is with Pastor Joe, as you know, he taught and give example upon example on, he's actually operated in the various manifestation gifts of the Spirit. So he gets up here and he's really in the, I'm going to show you that in a minute, he's in the office of prophet. So he also functions with the motivational gift of prophecy, which is residing. But then coupled with that, he's regularly going to flow with the manifestation gifts of like word of knowledge, especially the revelation gifts at that moment. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And so when he's given a word, he actually couples the two gifts together, okay? Now I'm going to give you an illustration of this, and Jackie, give me permission to do this because I asked her. But Pastor Joe, she was coming up, she'd never received a prophetic word before, and Pastor Joe prophesied over, and I'm not going to get the word exactly right, I'm just being general, but he prophesied over that she was like a rose, a beautiful rose, and the Lord was kind of now planting her. And he saw the Lord kind of adjusting her roots around, you know, the roots of the rose. But the rose was going to grow up and it was kind of thorny, you know, at times. And people were going to bump into her that felt like she was a little thorny. But she was going to, you know, I don't know what the red rose part was about, but, turning a rose, but she eventually was going to become the beautiful white rose that she'd always desired to be. Well, she says, you know what's amazing? She says, I absolutely love purple and white roses. She says, I had two white rose bushes out in my yard, you know, where we were at before. And so she went on this, but she didn't understand what it meant. Well, you know, he was actually, there was a coupling of gifts going on there. One would be word of knowledge, okay? Now, word of knowledge is simply this. It's knowledge about someone's past or present, a people, place, or thing. It's information that you could not possibly know apart from a revelation of God. You just couldn't know it. That's a word of knowledge. I'm going to tell you this, guys. The definitions of knowledge and wisdom that we got in those books is not the right definition. You can just scribble them out, okay? Because they're not the right definitions of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. I talked with Pastor Joe about that. He agreed. He was saying, you know, he's a busy guy. I won't go into just how busy, but he says he really needs to know and he needs to go in and adjust some of those things. But if you really listen to him when he taught on those two gifts, he did teach the right way, not the way it was written in the book, okay? So I just want to let you know, if you've got one of those books, scribble those out. So the word of knowledge is for the purpose of knowing something that you couldn't know, all right? And that's what happened with Jackie, okay? There was a word of knowledge about the rose thing. Well, that got Jackie's attention. Well, that's what the gifts are meant to do. They're meant to literally arrest and stall people in their tracks. That's what they're meant to do, folks. Listen, you know, somebody that's in pain that gets healed, you got my attention. Somebody gets a word of knowledge, something about them that there's no way this other person could know. That's why he doesn't want to know anything about any of you. He doesn't even want me to tell things about any of you. He says, please don't tell me stuff. Because he says, I want to get it by the Spirit. So that thing with Jackie, he had no way of knowing that. You know what? I didn't even know that, to be honest with you, until she told me. And then here he is talking about roses on her. So a word of knowledge. But then he gives a word of wisdom to go with it. Okay? That, you know, God's adjusting your roots. You know, because they just moved from Muskegon, and they're here now, and they're now in this church, and they are really grounded in here, and the Lord is just readjusting their roots, and as they're going to grow, then the word of wisdom kicked in. The word of wisdom is knowledge about what's going to happen in the future, okay? Or it's related to knowing, related to the word of knowledge that was given, how to respond to the word of knowledge through the word of wisdom. Does that make sense? So he was operating in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy all at the same time. Because he was definitely giving her words of encouragement and edification through that whole process. Does that make sense? But you do, for the purpose of understanding, need to realize that there is a distinction between prophecy, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. Prophecy is vocal. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom is revelation, but they often work together. So does that help you to understand that? Biblical prophecy. Okay, now, the person in the role of prophet, you're just going to have to flow with these notes. It's coming, I'm in a flow. So the prophet person, the person that's in the office of the prophet, has been called to that role to preach and to teach in that office. But as they've been called in that office, they're going to function in the motivational gift of prophecy and in these other manifestation revelation gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, okay? And so as they flow in that, they will function in the role of, you know, that's what Pastor Joe was. He was actually, I mean, in his church, he you know, that's an office. He's a pastor, but he also has the office of prophet. So he can just, you know, he just, that motivational prophetic gift just resides there. And then he often flows in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discernings of spirits. And so that's why you could see him calling people up here. It wasn't like he was being magical or whatever. And the Spirit of God was giving him a word because that gift resides there. And then he would couple with, the Lord would give him knowledge of, you know, you can see how it would work. Okay? So, but does that help you now to understand the distinctions? Anybody find that helpful yet? Okay. So, there it is. All right. So, I'm just going to wrap that up and to say that the last thing is in that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. How many have heard that passage and said, the gifts of the Spirit have passed away? Anybody heard? They use that verse. They use the verse of verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the right application on this. And it's, notice this is right smack dab, 1 Corinthians 13, in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about spiritual gifts, and 1 Corinthians 14, which talks about spiritual gifts. And what it is here is that for we know in part, the gifts of the Spirit are not operable in completed form. A word of knowledge is just a piece of knowledge. A word of wisdom is just a piece of wisdom. It's not, you don't get the whole plan for somebody's life. You don't get the whole past of somebody's life through word of knowledge. You just get a part of it. So we prophesy in part, a partial encouraging word. We know in part, we might get a word of knowledge that's partial from their past. And you see what I'm saying? And so none of that's going to happen until the perfect comes. Well, guess when the perfect comes? When Christ puts his feet on this planet. It's not when we got the New Testament written. Let's take this in context here, folks. It's talking about spiritual gifts. It's nothing about the Word of God and the knowledge that they refer to. It's the Word of knowledge. So only in part. So we operate in the gifts today, fully, okay? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the manifestation gifts, through calling in the ministry gifts, and through impartation when we're born again, through the motivational gifts. Does that make sense? So you see, they all are a part of, isn't that amazing? Ministry gifts by calling, motivational gifts by birth, right, in Christ, and manifestation gifts by the baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever understood that distinction before? Do you understand it now? Okay, better, good. Take those sheets, keep studying, okay? But listen, I don't want you to just walk out of here with information. I want you to walk out of here with revelation and impartation so that we as a body of Christ, when we come together and we're praising God, are filled with the Holy Spirit and we start seeing signs and wonders through the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. Amen? And we're serving one another through our motivational gifts and we have government through the ministry gifts. All right, let's pray. Thank you for hanging in there with